You're listening to the Multifamily Women Podcast with Carrie Antrim, where we extract the knowledge from executive women in leadership and inspire emerging leaders with our thought leadership platform, offering a new model for personal and professional transformation.
Welcome to the Multifamily Women Podcast. I'm your host, Carrie Antrim. We are having candid conversations with some of the most successful women in the multifamily industry. But before I introduce my guest and we dive in, I want to remind you that the Multifamily Women's Summit is coming up. Trust me, you don't want to miss it. Take a moment to visit multifamilywomen.com and secure your place today. This is a prime opportunity to meet industry experts one-on-one, gather practical insights, boost your business's success, and your own performance. And again, if you are gaining value from these podcast episodes, please support us by subscribing, rating, and reviewing. You know what to do. Your feedback helps us tailor our content to make sure that we're giving you what you want and that it's useful and valuable. So your time and your thoughts are greatly appreciated. Now I am ready to jump in with the expert we have today. I'm going to be talking with Ashley Lipp. She's the Vice President of Residential Property Management at Lloyd Companies. Ashley oversees more than 8,500 multifamily units and guides Lloyd Companies' residential property management team in all functions. Her role involves leading the vision, operations, and training for the residential property management division. Ashley is also an esteemed member of the Multifamily Innovation Council, which means she's on the cutting edge of technology and innovation within the industry. And she is striving every day to find ways to make her company more efficient and profitable. Ashley, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me today, Carrie. I'm happy to be here.
I'm glad you're here too. I want to just jump right in. Can you share your philosophy around the importance of leadership development and people engagement? I know that this is something that's really important to you and you're passionate about.
Absolutely. I believe that the success of your business is contingent upon the level of engagement of your employees. And that's really tough in our industry and in our business. In property management, you're dealing with all of these satellite locations that have employees at them. Not like everybody's coming into the same physical location every day where they get to see each other, communicate with each other face to face. And so that's a unique challenge for our industry. We're in different markets, we're in different states, cities, and trying to keep our team engaged is difficult. But at Lloyd Companies, we have a number of things in place to support our employees. Education and training is key, making sure that our new hires, number one, are trained well, both in a classroom type setting and hands-on training at the physical locations of these properties. We have buddy programs, we have mentor programs. We have leadership trainings that people in our company, myself, have developed to make them very applicable to the jobs that people do every day. We put on an annual conference every year where we bring in an expert speaker from our industry to speak to our teams. And we really just, we do everything we can to make our employees feel engaged and a part of the team.
So how has this approach contributed to the success of Lloyd Companies? Is it reducing turnover? Are you attracting top talent with these approaches? You mentioned learning and education. I think that's great. How's that contributing?
Absolutely. Industry average for a property manager is typically 3 years. Ours is above that typically. Regional managers is about 7 years. And once they get to that regional level, they're pretty much here, which we take a lot of pride in. But probably where one of the areas of our business that has maybe been the most impactful is actually with our maintenance team. We found that they were about 5 years ago, we really just dug in and figured out that they weren't engaged. They didn't see a future. They felt stuck. And because of that, we were experiencing a lot of turnover with that position. So over the past 5 years, our maintenance regional manager has worked really hard to start putting together, we call them pods, where 3 to 4 techs work together as a team and service several properties. Each team has a team lead. And what that has done is now they get to work together, so they do feel like they're a part of a team. There is a promotional path for them because they can start as a maintenance tech in training, go to a maintenance tech, maintenance team lead, and maintenance manager. And then at the top, we have the regional maintenance supervisor. And that shift dramatically changed our maintenance engagement. I would say that we recently, our turnover in that area is less than in our property managers. And that probably has never happened before, but it's something that we were really intentional about. And the culture that team has now created, they feel like they're a part of the team. They're being communicated with more. They get to have their feedback be heard more. And it's just been a really great thing for us.
That's really interesting. You hear a lot about companies having trouble finding maintenance talent and keeping it, retaining it. So that sounds really amazing what you've done. I'm wondering, like, what lessons you learned from that experience that were maybe unexpected or surprising. Obviously, the retention is amazing. Was there anything else you went through that you didn't expect?
Innovation. That is something that the shift has fostered innovation. Now we have maintenance techs coming to us on our new builds and saying, why are we putting this in? We can get it for less expensive from here and the parts are less expensive when we have to replace it. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? But one of the most innovative things that came out from this change is they had said that training was very lacking for them. So our maintenance regional manager took it upon himself to identify a shop that we had on one of our properties that was not being utilized. He reached out to several of our local vendors to see if they would be interested in donating items. So we got brand new appliance packages, brand new HVAC units, ACs, plumbing, electric type supplies donated. And he set up a hands-on maintenance training center that is amazing. Every new hire spends time in there with our trainers, learning how to do things, even simple things, unclog a sink, change a garbage disposal. If you see this issue on an HVAC unit, this is typically what it means. And we also hold weekly classes there for both our maintenance techs and our property managers. So it's important for them to understand these things too. And that has been transformational for our maintenance team and our company as a whole. It really sets us apart and people want to be a part of that.
That's incredible for a couple of different reasons. First of all, that maintenance technician felt courageous enough and safe enough to come to you with that, I have this idea. Here's this issue or challenge that I'm facing and I have a solution. That person felt comfortable enough to come to you, and you must be creating a kind of a fail-safe environment where your people can come to you with these ideas, or like you said, hey, why are we doing this instead of this? This makes more sense. That's incredible. That's great. I know you also created a leadership class within your company. How do you see that fostering personal growth and preparing future leaders within your organization?
Absolutely. In the past, we had sent people to different leadership trainings. We had tried some of your more commonly known leadership trainings, but I still felt like they just weren't really applicable to what I was wanting my team to get out of it. So I developed a class that happens over the course of a year, and people have to apply to it because I want it to have a level of prestigiousness to it. And I keep the classes small so that we can really have conversations and people will open up and can feel that they can speak freely. And so over the course of the year, we talk about a lot of different things, but the first 6 months is truly all about being a good leader and what that is and what that looks like. And I think the common misconception among especially new leaders is they don't understand how important the relationship that you have with yourself plays into the type of leader that you're going to be. If you don't have a good relationship with yourself and you're not honest with yourself, you likely are not going to be the inspirational leader that people want to follow and need. Because those things that you are feeling internally or maybe that are just churning inside of you, they're going to come out in some way. So it's just important for you to understand yourself, how you operate, how you handle stress, how you react to things, and put measures in place so that you can identify them before they become a problem. It's that emotional intelligence, right? That's basically what it's boiling down to. After that, we go into more of the property management type stuff, how to read financial letters, how to write financial letters, how to talk with owners, all of those types of things. But really what the most important piece of that is just figuring out who you are and how you can have a great relationship with yourself.
I think that can be tough sometimes for people. That sounds great. Was this something you were tasked with, or you saw this area that needed addressed, and so you came up with this?
Yeah, so I just saw a need for it and just came up with it. I also had taken some lessons that I had learned on my leadership journey too. And so I felt, man, if I was experienced this and these are lessons that I had to learn, I know that other people are going to need this too. And if I can help them through it, maybe in areas where I didn't, I had to go figure it out myself a little bit, I wanted to do that.
Was it nerve-wracking, or was it scary, or were you excited? How did you feel like when you had the spark of an idea?
Oh, I was so excited.
Oh, that's great.
So excited. I would say maybe the first couple classes, I was a little nervous because this stuff is hard to know if people are actually going to buy into it. Sometimes people are like, I don't know, that just seems like a bunch of fluff. But I think I presented it in a way where it wasn't just Ashley Lipp speaking. I used external resources too. I used TED Talks that I introduced. We read certain books. We talked a lot about it. And then I referred to experts to kind of layer into the content. I actually think that it really resonated with people. And for some, it was stuff that they actually just had never looked into before. So it was pretty eye-opening for them.
That's great. So they go through this, or they have to apply. So it's not everybody, but the ones who are interested go through and apply. That's amazing. I'm wondering, does your company utilize any kind of unified or cohesive operating system to improve team performance?
We do. So we utilize Traction, which is an entrepreneurial operating system. We implemented it several years ago, but we really have gotten serious about it in the past 3 years. Part of Traction is having a weekly level 10 meeting with your team. So when we started it, it was basically the executive team having their level 10 every week. Then we started to kind of trail that down to different levels within the company. And so now we have everyone from our executive team to our maintenance teams meeting to have a level 10 at least once a month. Not every team needs to meet every week, but their meeting, we use this system that if an issue is brought up in one of the meetings, we can cascade it to other meetings too, because we know that all these people are meeting weekly. And that has been amazing for us when we're setting our strategic plans each year. It helps us ensure that each team is working towards the same metrics and KPIs, and we measure those across the entire division. It helps us know that each team, that their, let's just say their goals or their tasks, they're called rocks in Traction. So we make sure that their rocks are on par with what our strategic initiatives are that quarter too. And it's really helped us just streamline everything and make sure that we're all working towards the same goal, which has also increased our engagement.
That's great. We're familiar with Traction as well. And any listeners out there who haven't heard of it, I do recommend you doing a little research on it. It is a great way to organize and keep everyone, like you said, on their KPIs and all, and their get their rocks handled. So being a female in leadership, I know sometimes you mentioned this leadership class and being a little nervous, like maybe they won't buy in, or not everybody even is aware of self-development in some of these areas. You had mentioned to me previously about struggling with imposter syndrome, and I'm wondering if that was early in your career. I'm wondering if you'd be willing to tell us a little bit more about that, what it is, what it meant to you, and how it affected you.
Absolutely. I would love to. So I've been at Lloyd Companies for 10 years now. And when I first started, the first few years, I advanced pretty quickly in my career. I actually started at the property level. So I was a property manager, was a regional manager for a few years, but was pretty quickly selected for the future vice president role. And I had an interim time where I was training side by side with the current vice president at the time. She knew that it wasn't something that she wanted to be in long term. So it was important for her to find the right candidate, make sure that they were trained well so that they could take over and she didn't have to step back in again. So during that time period, I always struggled with feeling like maybe I had gotten here because I am just lucky, or gosh, I know they see the potential in me, but I think it's there, but man, I'm not sure. And so I always just had those feelings of doubt about myself. Even though every leader that I was working with in the company was so supportive and they didn't have those doubts, it was just me. So that was something that I struggled with. And so when I found myself in meetings with executives, our CEO, my supervisor, who at the time and still is, who is, you know, so brilliant and very analytical, and I found myself shutting down. And even though I would have ideas, I would just assume that they were obvious. So I shouldn't say those because they've probably already thought them and they weren't worth mentioning. So I'm not going to. I'm just going to sit back and let them speak. So I struggled with that. And a mentor of mine within the company would always tell me, Ashley, you need to speak up. You have good things to say. Why aren't you saying them? And so it was just something that I just couldn't get past. Until COVID hit in 2020, I had been in my role probably 2-3 years at that point fully, and the world changed overnight. And it just so happened that a lot of our executives and leaders were like either on vacations, or I think they may have been on like a planning retreat somewhere too. And so I was one of the only like VPs at the office when the world really came down. And I had this thought to myself where, okay, I could either sit here and be scared and be timid and let COVID dictate what I and what we are going to do as a company, or I can step up and take control of this situation and lead this team through it and come out on the other side and be really proud of everything that we accomplished. And so I took that route. I decided that, nope, it doesn't matter. The doubts that I have, they need to go. There's no time for doubts right now. And I'm just going to be the best leader that I can. I'm going to make the decisions because I had new information coming at me every 15 minutes, it felt. And you just had to make the best decision for the information that you had at that time. And that's what I did. And we came out so successful from COVID as a company, as a division. And I really feel like part of it is because I just decided that I was going to be a leader and I was going to stop doubting myself. And we had an amazing team that pulled together through it. And so COVID was really scary, but I will forever be grateful for it because that's what I needed to get to where I am today.
Absolutely. You gave me goosebumps because number one, when you mentioned, we talked prior, but I didn't know your whole story. So that's really interesting to hear when you mentioned you sitting in meetings and having ideas, but thinking, oh, somebody, that's obvious. Somebody's already going to say that. I'll just wait for somebody else. Like, how many times do we do that on a daily basis? I'm sure either that's not good enough or somebody else will say it or they've already thought of it, right? That resonates. And then you breaking through that is just really having the clarity. Listen, we're in almost like a crisis situation with COVID that was like crazy. Everyone, no one knows what to do. And so you just have to have that clarity of, okay, nothing else matters. There's no ego. We have to thrive right now. We have to get through this. And when you have that clarity, I think everything else falls away. That's really great. Thank you so much for sharing that. That was inspiring.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I hope that if anyone else is out there struggling with it, it's something that can be overcome. And once I knew, I didn't know the term imposter syndrome either. So once I heard it and did some research around it, it actually really helped me to be able to put a name to it and know that, okay, that's what I'm struggling with. Other people have struggled with it too. And just knowing that much too is what I needed to help get past it.
Yeah. So it sounds like you had some intrinsic motivation to figure out what was going on to get through it. And then you mentioned having a mentor and you had good support externally as well, which I'm sure helped.
Absolutely. And one thing that also had really helped me too is that the company did invest in a coach for me too. And she was amazing and really helped open my eyes to some of the things that I was feeling or thinking, and how it's common and very common in new leaders, probably even more common in new women leaders. And she just really helped me as well. So that I had my last meeting with her shortly before COVID. So it's almost like the timing was laid out perfectly for me.
Yeah, everything came together like a puzzle pieces, huh?
Yes.
That's great. Yeah, and now you're part of the Multifamily Innovation Council. And so we get to see you every week in our meetings. What I'm wondering, how's that going for you? And what are you learning in those meetings?
Yeah, absolutely. I just love the conversation that we get to have as industry professionals. Being from South Dakota, and I reside in Sioux Falls, and our biggest city isn't even 300,000. So the multifamily industry isn't quite as sophisticated as when you get into some of the larger metro markets. So I have so enjoyed listening to professionals that live all over the country in some of these major markets and just understand their struggles, learn from them, and learn even in the innovation too. We were talking about ChatGPT before it was even a thing. So when it became so popular, it was cool to be like, okay, yeah, I learned about this from Patrick and didn't realize it was going to be here so quickly, but here it is. But I love that type of stuff, being ahead of the industry trends and knowing what's coming and being able to make sure that our business is ready for them and strategize for how we can utilize these tools and make our business even better.
I think I mentioned in my last podcast with Angela Flick, who's also a member, technology can be scary for some, or it can be exciting, or a little bit of both. But what's your view on it?
You know what? I get it. It can be scary, but it's here and it's not going anywhere. And if you don't embrace it, you're going to be behind, and eventually your business is going to suffer because of it. So I think it's just finding that right balance between technology and your people, and finding that right balance and how they can integrate with each other. I think that there's a fear out there that, oh, technology is going to overtake everything. And I don't believe that, especially in property management. We are a customer service oriented business, and we will always need people there to deliver world-class customer service. But there is areas where technology can greatly enhance that. One piece of advice that I picked up somewhere along the way, I think it was at a conference I had attended, but they had said, technology is great, but technology should be solving a problem that you have already identified as important to solve. Otherwise, it's just a distraction. So that's something I keep in mind. I get probably 30 emails a day for new technologies. I get probably 5 calls a day for new technology. And it's something that I really have to protect my time with, because I could easily go down all of these different rabbit holes of different technologies and dream about how they could solve all these problems in our business. But I really restrict it to problems that me and my leadership team have identified are issues that we need to solve. Those are the technologies that I seek out. So that has always served me well, and just my personal philosophy with it.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. It should be used as a support, making your people better or faster or more efficient, or so they can spend more time with the residents or the clients or owners, investors, whatever that is. The technology should be a support tool rather than taking over everything.
Exactly.
Yeah. Ashley, we're coming up to the end of our conversation here, but before we go, do you have any final thoughts or advice for aspiring leaders in the industry? Anything you'd like to share?
I think my last piece of advice would just be you have to invest in yourself and get curious about yourself. When you're feeling a certain way, or when you are frustrated about something, or ask yourself why, and really just dig deeper and figure out what might be underlying the underlying cause between some of those things. And I think the more and more you can understand yourself, the better leader you're going to be.
Sounds like maybe you need to take your leadership class nationwide here.
Oh, gee.
I'll enroll. We're ready. Ashley, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your story and your experiences with us today. I appreciate your time so much. And I am 100% sure that our audience will find your insights valuable. So thank you again for being here.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Listen, before we say goodbye, I want to remind you to connect with our guest, Ashley Lipp, on LinkedIn. She's obviously an excellent source of wisdom and inspiration for the multifamily industry. And of course, we'll include a link to her profile in the show notes for easy access. Be sure to check out the show notes for a recap of this conversation, along with other resources we mentioned during this episode. And as we wrap up, I'd like to extend an invitation for you to join our Women's Leadership Series. We've got over 5,000 members. It's a fantastic platform to exchange ideas, inspire one another, and grow together. You can find that on multifamilywomen.com and click on join. And you can also check out the Multifamily Innovation Council that we mentioned. That is at multifamilyinnovation.com and click on Council. And we will have all of these links in the show notes. So if you are driving and listening right now, keep driving, keep your eyes on the road, and do this when you get in the office or at home or wherever you are headed. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the Multifamily Women Podcast. To register for the upcoming Multifamily Women Summit, be a guest on this podcast, or join the Women's Leadership Series, visit multifamilywomen.com.